Today is Thursday, May 28th, 2014. We're going to hear Moshe Soloveitchik Shir and Parshas Naso.
Ladies, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming. If we could please lower our cell phones, that would be awfully nice if you could. Thank you.
You're welcome.
No, you're welcome, Davis.
You too. God bless you.
No, God bless you.
Thank you.
So, in any case, please, at the end of the class, please remove everything off the tables. Thank you for those who helped and helped to set up, and those that came early to help me set up. So much appreciated. And I appreciate the synagogue and the rabbi. Thank you very much. We're going to be davening Marv a few minutes after the class. And we will be having class next week.
Yeah, why not?
And no reason why not.
And it's a special.
And in case you don't know, we are Milchik.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway,
please enjoy the class.
Thank you,
Jerry. You're welcome.
It never stops.
You need help?
All right, this week's Sedra has in it the halacha, the mitzvah, Birchas Kahanim, of the Kohen blessing the Jewish people. It's interesting, when the Kohen blesses the Jewish people after the Avodah, after the service, in the Beis HaMikdash, and also after Davin, for some reason, in Chutz Laaretz, among Ashkenazic Jews, the Kohen, the priestly tribe, does not bless the Jewish people except on Yom Tov. Except on Yom Tov. Now, Sfardim, however, they have Birchas Kahanim. They have Birchas Kahanim at all times. Just as a side, Shabbos, the weekdays, every day. But there is one city in Eretz Yisrael, of course, you have Birchas Kahanim every day. That's both of Ashkenazim and Sfardim. There is one city that acts like Chutz Laaretz. Could be in more than one way, but anyway, and as far as Birchas Kahanim is concerned, and that is Haifa. In Haifa, in Ashkenazic shuls, there is no Birchas Kahanim. That's a good question. Okay, actually it's a double question. You ask the second question before the first question. The halacha is, in theory, you should have Birchas Kahanim. So why is it that Ashkenazim don't have Birchas Kahanim? And then the second question is, okay, So whatever the reason is that there's a difference between Israel and everywhere else, why isn't there a difference why is there a difference between Haifa and every other city in Eretz Israel? I just as a parenthetical note, because I really think it's the true explanation. Now, The Mefarshim explain why by the Ashkenazim there's a difference between Yontif and Chutz Laaretz, between inside Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael. It says because in Chutz Laaretz people are not besimcha, not joyful, and apparently Birchas Kahanim requires a certain sense of joy. And Yontif, there is a certain sense of joy, v'samachta b'chagecha, and that's why. Okay, now. Yeah. And there's an interesting story. Rabbi Berger just reminded me. The Vilna Gaon felt that the Ashkenazic custom was not proper. So he told Reb Chaim Volozhiner that when he starts the Volozhin Yeshiva, they should institute the doing of Birchas Kahanim every day. And every time they did Birchas Kahanim on a regular day, the yeshiva burnt down. So I guess at a certain point after the insurance company stop giving them coverage.
Was it with Simcha?
A question is why did that happen? In other words, you can't just dispose of a minhag. If there is a custom, and the custom is there for good reason, you have to maintain the custom. The question is, what is the reason? What is the reason? And now it's interesting, just as a side point, you know, Rev Cook was a student in Volozhin Yeshiva, of course, many, many years later. And he used to say, that being in Volozhin made him feel like he was in Eretz Yisrael. And everybody knows what love Rav Cook had for Eretz Yisrael. So being Volozhin, so I guess we could suggest that there was this fear that okay. So there was this fear that maybe why particularly Volozhin did it burn down? Okay, so in other words, to distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, even Volozhin Yeshiva. Okay, all right. But I have a lot of trouble with that reason, and I'm certainly that reason. The trouble is compounded more by the fact that Haifa is different. You know, why should just... So I think there's another reason.
So if people move out of Haifa to Yerushalayim,
they do Birchas Kahanim. You go to the Kotel, you'll see every day.
Sometimes they turn
and the shuls, they do Birchas Kahanim.
So you get to Haifa, there's no Birchas Kahanim.
There's no Birchas Kahanim in Haifa, in Ashkenazic shuls. So that's a sort of question. Is
it used to be majority Arab, right?
In Haifa?
Yeah, before 1948.
Yes.
It was majority Arab.
Yeah.
That's the reason?
No.
Maybe.
No, they weren't happy being in the Haifa. It wasn't. See, if the Arabs were the ones that were davening, I would understand it.
Yeah,
okay. I'll tell you what I really believe is the reason. The reason is, the halach is, that someone who is shesuya yayin, someone who drinks wine, is not allowed to do Birchas Kahanim. Because of that, some shuls on Simchas Torah, that's only recently, some shuls in Simchas Torah, they have Birchas Kahanim in the morning because they're scared that the people are going to be Shesuya Yayin by the time it comes to Musaf. Now, there's a historical fact. This is a historical fact. Ashkenazim, the Jews in Europe, did not drink water. They drank wine, they drank beer. They did not drink water, wine and beer. The amounts of wine that they drank, it's a historical fact in the records, was enormous. It's just unbelievable. I mean, and that's why no Jews died from the Black Plague, because they didn't drink the water from the wells. Of course, they got killed because people suspected that they're the ones who spread around. Of course, every time there's a problem, it's the Jews' fault. Yeah, but the Jews did not die from the Black Plague because they drank wine. For whatever the reason was, they drank wine. And however, Sephardic Jews drank tea. The drinking of wine was not excessive. I think the Chachamim, at a certain point, the Chachamim being the leaders of the community, recognized, you know, if people don't drink water and they only drink wine, they're going to start drinking whether it's allowed or it's not allowed. The facts are, people tend to drink, need to drink, or have this desire to drink early in the day. They have this desire to drink early in the day, and they drink throughout the day. So there was this fear, and they couldn't control that. So on a yontif, you know, three times a year, whatever it is, six times a year, okay, you have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also. Yom Kippur is certainly no problem. So that was a controllable situation. But on a day-to-day basis, it wasn't controllable. Why was Haifa different? Haifa was the port city. And many of the Jews coming in were Jews who came by ship. And that's why, and they probably drank. And that's why I think in Haifa the custom was established not to do Birchas Kahanim except on Yom Tov. They kept the Ashkenazic custom there. This is just a side point. I'm mentioning it because it's something that people are. It's a question that bothers people, I have repeated that expression, not just that I repeated, the people who heard it from me repeated it to people who are well known in the Torah world. Whatever my opinion of them is a separate issue, but surprisingly, it was very much accepted, this explanation.
Did your father hold it, that grape juice was Shisui?
It could be.
Could be.
Yeah, it makes sense. It might be that. I don't know. But in the old days, you couldn't have grape juice very long because the water spoiled or became wine. So even if that would be an issue, I think my father held it would be a problem. Okay. I never mentioned this to my father because I thought of it after my father passed away. But I really believe that that's the reason. I'm mentioning it just as a side point because it's something that people are somewhat troubled by. But it's very interesting. Before the Kohen says the Birchas Kahanim, the Kohen says a bracha, Asher Kiddushanu, who sanctified us, B'kdushaso shel Aaron, V'tzivanu, he commanded us, Levarech Hasamo Yisrael, to bless his nation. He says his people. Amo, I think, is more nation. Be Ahava, with love. Most of the Rishonim don't mention the word be'ahava, but the accepted nusach of the bracha is to use the word be'ahava. And the question is, where do we find where do we find that God commanded commanded them to do it ba'ava, with to do it with love? Where do we find that it was a command to do it with love? Now, I think because the Torah just says, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber al Aaron vel bonav lemor, Kos varchus bnei Yisrael, emor lehem, Yirecha." Where do we find that the command is that the birchas come? Now, the Zohar does say that any kohen who doesn't do it with love should not raise his hands to be mevarech, to bless the Jewish people. Okay, but where do we find it besides the Zohar? Where do we find that there is a special halacha? Now, there was an argument between my great-great-grandfather and my great-great-great-grandfather, between the Netziv and the Beis Halevi, about Birchas Kahanim. The Netziv, who by the way was the Rebbe of Rav Kook, the Netziv felt that we have a rule that Shomea Kona, what does Shomea Kona mean? In other words, in theory, every Jew, I'm giving you an example, is required to read the Megillah. Now, that would be a problem because most Jews do not have the ability to read the Megillah. So how do we fulfill the mitzvah? Because there is a rule, Shomea Kona, that when in regard to ritual that is supposed to be said, so when I hear it, it's considered that I verbalize this. So even though the mitzvah is Kriyas HaMegillah, reading the Megillah, but the person who reads it for me also, and I fulfill my obligation through his reading, so long as I hear it. So long as I hear it, I fulfill the mitzvah through him. Now, now there is a halacha, there is a law by Birchas Kahanim that a person has to say the Birchas Kahanim out loud. In other words, the Kohen can't say Verecha Hashem. The halacha is you have to say it out loud. So there was an argument. Let's say you had a Kohen who was not capable of talking loudly. So how can he fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas Kahanim? So the Netziv said, and one of the Rabbanim in Vilna, who had this problem, he relied on this, Rav Shlomo HaKohen, he was the Rav of Vilna, probably in the late 1800s. There was no official Rav of Vilna, but he was sort of like the Rav of Vilna. He was the head of the Bezdin there. And he had a problem in the way he vocalized things. So the Rav Shlomo HaKohen said what he would do is he would listen to another Kohen say it, and he would fulfill the mitzvah by listening to the Kohen, Shomea Kona. So that's how he fulfilled the mitzvah, through Shomei HaKonah. The Beis Halevi, and this was the opinion of the Netziv. The Beis Halevi, however, disagreed. The Beis Halevi said, when can you fulfill the mitzvah? By listening to somebody else doing it. There, if it's just the law of saying it. But if there is a law that it has to be said out loud, that it has to be said out loud in a loud tone, so the fact that that person says it you can't fulfill the mitzvah by listening to him. In other words, Shomei HaKonah, listening is considered like you said it, but it doesn't mean it's considered like you said it out loud. It's considered like you said it, but it's not considered like you said it out loud. So they brought all kinds of questions against the Beis Halevi. Because one of the questions against the Beis Halevi is that when they read the Parsha of Bikurim, when somebody brought the first fruits to Jerusalem, so he had to read the Parsha of Bikurim, thanking God for everything that God did for him and for the Jewish people, and gave him the land of Israel, and gave him this fruit, and and the law was it had to be said out loud. But there came a point where certain people didn't know how to say the Parsha of Bikurim, so they instituted that in each group there would be one person who says it, and the others would fulfill the mitzvah by listening. And there, the law was it had to be out loud. So the Beis Halevi, so the question is, so you see, sometimes when it has to be out loud, you can fulfill through somebody else saying it. So Reb Chaim answered the question. My great grandfather, he defended his father against his wife's grandfather. Okay. Netziv was his wife's grandfather. Anyway, although they had an especially good relationship, I mean, Reb Chaim said, he says, the Torah here says, it's not because it has to be out loud that the problem. Why is there a law that it has to be out loud? Because the Torah says, Emor Lahem. The Kohen has to tell it to the Jew. He says, you can fulfill the mitzvah if it's just a question of saying it. So if a person says it, and you listen, it's considered that you said it also, but it can't be indicative of saying someone saying it for me isn't considered that I said it to you. It's not considered that I said it to you. No, it's a law. It's considered like I said it. Why? Because when I say it to you, it's not just words. It's not just a statement. It represents a relationship. You know, a person, in other words, what we see here is Birchas Kahanim has to be said in a manner that is expressive of a relationship. There has to be a relationship between the Kohen and the person who receives the blessing. If I fulfill the mitzvah by somebody else's saying it, it could be considered like I said it, but it lacks in that idea if I'm saying it to you. If it's just a question that it should be said, that's one thing. In other words, why? Because there's a special law that the Birchas Kahanim has to be said with a special relationship. And And so that's what Reb Chaim said, that that's the reason if a person, if I have a messenger, if I fulfill the mitzvah by somebody else saying it, it lacks in that relationship, that personal relationship. The bracha has to be indicative of a personal relationship. And if you take a look at Rashi, Emor, so first Rashi is troubled. Why Emor is written with a vav in it? You could have Emor without a vav. So he says it has to be slow. In other words, if you have a vav, it's a longer word, not necessarily in pronunciation, but in the written form, it's a longer word than if it's without a vav. So it has to be done, and you see, Kohanim don't rush through Birchas Kohanim. It has to be done in a slow manner. What's the idea? A slow manner means you don't want to get it over with. We talk by Pesach, by the Haggadah. We say Chol Hamar Belisape Hareza Meshupa. Whoever says more about Pesach at the Seder, that's better. The Rambam says the Chol Hamar BeUmarich. What's the difference between Marbe and Marich? Marbe means to give more information, to teach. Marich means to be lengthy, not necessarily to say anything more. Now, when you have a teacher who's teaching. You want him to give more information. You don't necessarily want him to be marach. However, if you're the guest of honor at a dinner, and somebody is speaking about you, you probably would prefer that he not give more information, but he take longer in the praising. So, in other words, When you say why? In other words, you're not trying to get it over with. When you try to get something over with, you're trying to get over with. I have to do it. When it comes to Birchas Kohanim, sure, we have to make a bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. God commanded us. But we're not just doing, but it's a command that we want to do. Not just because it's a command. Matter of fact, my uncle, there's a certain dispute I mentioned that my uncle had with my great-grandfather, with Reb Chaim, with his grandfather. Reb Chaim said, we have a general rule, mitzvah srichos kavana. A mitzvah requires intention. You need intention to fulfill a mitzvah. So Reb Chaim said, a person, when he davens, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, it's not, you have to have intention to fulfill the mitzvah of davening. And my uncle said, and I think Reb Chaim is right, but the logic of my uncle is correct, that my uncle said, he said, that's true about all mitzvahs, but not about davening. Of course you have to daven. But that shouldn't be the reason you're davening. You should daven because you feel that you want to make a connection with God. So the halacha mitzvah, because my uncle apparently understood mitzvah srichas kavana. I'm doing it because I was commanded to do it. So, but Reb Chaim, so in other words, there are certain mitzvahs that we do as an act of submission, but there are certain mitzvahs that we are submitting, but we do it because we want to do it independent of the commandment. So davening, my uncle said, is one of those mitzvahs that a person, sure, we have to daven 3 times a day, but a person should say, I am davening because I want to daven, even though I am commanded to do it. I pray to God because I want to connect with Him. So I recognize my dependency upon Him. It's almost like I I have a psychological urge to daven to God. The same thing is true. The same thing is true by Birchas Kohanim. Matter of fact, there's a very strange Zohar. The Zohar says, the Zohar asks a question. You know, the Shachar, Shmoneh Esrei of Shachar is in the morning. That's a required mitzvah. The davening, the Shacharis, the morning prayers is required. Mincha is required. And there is an opinion in the Talmud that Ma'ariv, the Shmoneh Esrei, not the Shema, not the Brachas, but the Shmoneh Esrei of Ma'ariv, there's an opinion that it wasn't required. Today it became required, but originally it wasn't required. So the question is, we know that Abraham instituted the morning prayer. Isaac, according to tradition, instituted Mincha. Yaakov instituted Ma'ariv. So they said, why is the davening of Avraham and Yitzchak, of Abraham and Isaac, considered on a higher level than the prayer of Yaakov, than the prayer of Jacob? And more than that, it says, Jacob is considered the Bechir HaAvos. This is the Zohar's question, it's not my question. Is the chosen one of the patriarchs? So the Zohar says, no, on the contrary, Ma'ariv is Rishus, it's voluntary because it's on a higher level. So the question is, well, that doesn't make any sense, but the answer is it does make sense. Because davening is something that I want to do. Shacharis and Mincha, when someone davened Shacharis, which is a required, which originally was required from the very beginning. So if someone davens Shacharis, it doesn't show a desire to connect with God. It shows a desire to submit to God. However, when it comes to Ma'ariv, That's a mitzvah that Tefillas Arvis Rishus. That shows a desire to connect with God. So that's how we can explain the Zohar. So therefore, it's considered on a higher level because it's a voluntary prayer. So that doesn't mean that you can skip it. It has become required. Okay. In other words, there are certain mitzvahs that, of course, all mitzvahs are required, but there are certain mitzvahs that, even though they're required, but we should have a desire to do them because of the nature of the mitzvah, not just because of the commandment. So here too, so when you say ela b'chavana uvelev shalem, with intention and a full heart. Now, what is the difference? What is the difference between the Medrash says that you should have kavana, intention, and a full heart? The question is, what's the difference? What does kavana mean? Kavana means intention. So what does leif shalem mean, a full heart? What's the difference? I think kavana means that I have intention, that I have intention to fulfill the mitzvah. Leif shalem with a full heart means because I have love, I want to give this bracha over. It leif shalem, leif is usually used, the heart is the symbol of love. So it's the idea of love for the fellow Jew. So I think, in other words, because it requires a special relationship. And what's interesting is that I think there's a medrash. The medrash says that very often people fall. Why? Because people fall because they did not have the proper relationship with the Kohanim, who are the special advisor, the representatives of God. they're representatives of God. And so in other words, and this I think this is why you know, I mention it all the time and I repeat it all the time. We have advanced, all kinds of technology is being used for learning of Torah. It's being used for learning of Torah. But from a certain perspective, we have taken a step back. And don't get me wrong. It's good to have the technology to help in the learning of Torah. But there is nothing that can replace the personal relationship between the teacher and the student. You could have tapes, you can have DVDs, you can have telephone calls, you could see the teacher's face on the DVD, whatever it is, on the iPad, you could, all of that. But you can't replace a personal relationship. And this is the personal relationship. The personal relationship is when that's the idea by Birchas Kohanim. It's not enough that we're Yotzei and they're Yotzei. In other words, the Torah wanted that there should be a relationship between the representatives of God and the Jewish people. And so therefore the halacha is that it can't be, it has to be ba'ava. Why? Because if it's done through a messenger, there's lacking. A messenger can only give over a message. A messenger cannot give over a feeling, cannot give over an emotion. Birchas Kohanim has to be given over not just the message, but the feeling and the emotion as well. That's why by Birchas Kohanim, first of all, it has to be done by the Kohen himself, and he can't be Yotzei through somebody else, because if the other Kohen that's doing it, he can give over his emotion. No one can give over your emotion. So therefore, Birchas Kohanim, there is no Shemayim.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
We're going to be davening just in a few minutes. I'd like to take the opportunity to wish everybody a good Shabbos and good Shabbos.